Chiari era di una grandissima intelligenza, eh?
Io ho sempre considerato Chiari un'intelligenza obliqua.
La particolarità di questo uomo è che è stato molto abile a sfiorare tutte le discipline senza addentrarsi in nessuna disciplina.
Chi è che fa le fotografie senza guardare neanche la macchina fotografica?
Lui era molto veloce di pensiero.
Così la libertà di poter fare delle cose che praticamente, se non ci pensavi, sembravano
total liberation. And Chiari was a liberator. That was his art.
Giancarlo Cardini, Alvin Karen, Giampiero Frassinelli, Daniele Lombardi, Paolo Masi, Lara Vinca Masini, Gianni Pettena e Renato Ranaldi parlano di Giuseppe Chiari.
Alvin Karen is an American composer who has been living and working in Europe since the early 60s. He is regarded as one of contemporary electronic music trailblazers and game changers. And for many years, he shared a strong friendship and collaboration with Giuseppe Chiari, who, in his words, represented the contemporary, the now. We sat with him and talked about his relationship with Chiari.
He's been my lifelong partner in crime. We met in Berlin. At that time, is that the Ford Foundation idea to, as part of a larger plan of political coercion and transformation, to create a cultural wall against communism. And there's several books written on this subject, and they're very interesting. Mm-hmm. We had known even at the time that there was some idea behind all of this to some financing or some political philosophy. But nonetheless, when you're a young artist, you don't ask too many questions. If people are giving you money and giving you a place to live and a place to work. My own life took root there, and it's a good place to begin to talk about Chiari also. The important thing is that at the time, they had the program set up so that the big invited artist could invite two or three or even four people as what they called young composers. We weren't even assistants or anything. We just did our work and lived our own life. But at that time, it was very interesting because the big composers at that time were Elliot Carter and Yanis Xenakis. And Luciano Berio in the first years. And each of them brought very interesting people who, well, Berio had invited Louis Andriessen, Xenakis had invited Yuji Takahashi, a Japanese composer pianist. And so for me, coming fresh from America and being very naive and politically uninformed, it was really a good push into the real world of contemporary music making, even though I didn't continue to remain in that world. I left that world, and that brings us to the formation of the group Musica Elettronica Viva, 1965-66 in Rome. Mostly American musicians, and we decided to make our own kind of revolution and forget that we had official stamp on us, like, you know, from the big universities in America, Princeton, Yale, Brown, and so on, Harvard. So we were, I say this because this is who we were when Chiari stepped into my life. And then it gave a real jolt, a real push of another kind into the world that relates directly to the earliest and most lively period of the modernist beginnings with Dadaism and modes of behavior and political attitudes that were beyond party politics and that were beyond ideas any kind of rational idea. And Chiari in my first encounters with him was a person who in a few seconds he could confer on you, almost like a commission. He could transform you with a few thoughts or a few phrases or a few ideas. He could bring you into the most cutting edge of the contemporary world.
So Giuseppe Chiari has someone who could transform you, who could open the person in front of him to new perspectives. Which was his capacity?
The best word I can come up with is magnetism, which was completely unpowerful, had no power to it. But once you felt this magnetism, you could never pull away from it. Chiari was a person who detested power. He detested power. He fought all of his life against people who wanted power or things that were trying to coerce you to do something. So he had this gentle, poetic attraction. I don't mean poetry, I mean a poetic, a view of life in the world as a form of living absurdity. And I'm going now far afield because I don't want to analyze Chiari like this. He was too much of a great artist to be reduced to such simple, sentimental words. But if I have to express a few sentiments about that, I can say that he had an amazing attraction, also because he had this mix of pure Fiorentino in every gesture, in every word, in his behavior, in his speech, which also set him aside, gave him a kind of a life he never had of 1,000 years or 2,000 years before him, some long history. So he carried this immense baggage with him, which led to this pure, humorous, ironic, possibly destructive, maybe even childlike sometimes. But anyway, his work speaks for itself. His work was about destruction and recreation. I mean, he could do with one word, a word like Maria, and just get up in a room and say, Maria, and everyone is going, oh my God, you know, because it has nothing to do with the church. But it has to do with the history of all time. And he was able to communicate these things in amazing ways. These were times when, everybody under the age of 30 were thinking they could actually change the world. They could arrive at utopia. And so it really didn't matter what you did. The actual things that you did were probably crazy, and maybe you did something like you sat in a chair and you dropped coins on the floor. I mean, you did insignificant things. It didn't matter what you did, because the doing was all part of a large historical movement that was truly trying to transform, or thought it could, imagined it could be transformative in bringing a new sense of the contemporary into the world, and especially into the Italian world, which was very resistant. But nobody was acting out of party politics. People were acting because they were crazy. They liberated themselves and they liberated other people from any problem you may have had, whatever, psychological, physical, economic, philosophical, anything. You could just be liberated. You could be free. And this is what, in that particular moment, the world needed that. The youth movement of the 60s was based on the idea of total liberation. And Chiari was a liberator. That was his art. He had arrived at these things, let's say a decade or more before anyone like myself or other colleagues of mine could understand. But after all, the history of the savagely rational, mad, unhinged artist goes way back in time.
In 1966 in Rome, together with Alan Bryant, John Petalplace, Carol Plantamura, Frederick Reschke, Richard Teitelbaum and Eva Vendor, you did initiate the Musica Electronica Viva group. How did Chiari enter into the group orbit? How did Chiari enter into the group's orbit? Who brought him in?
Shevsky had been in Italy since the early 1960s, and he had already met Chiari and talked about Chiari a lot. So Chiari came into the life of the group of Musica Elettronica Viva. At that time, everybody loved Americans, and Chiari loved to be around that. He liked to be around Shevsky and me and Steve Leit. We were another form of wild animal. We were another species. We were childlike, and also we had a lot of freedom. We had the freedom not to have been victims of and engaged in the war, to have these serious tragedies on your own skin. So I think Chiari's interest in what you call the international, he was a truly international person because he was one of the few artists in Italy at that time who was, first of all, not recognized by any musical institution in this country. But he was already beginning to be known everywhere outside of Italy.
How did meeting Chiari affect you?
Meeting this person, entering into this undefinable world that he came from, was so attractive and so powerful. It isn't that I wanted to emulate that. I would never emulate. I'm not a neo-Dadaist or a neo-Fluxist or any of that. But I can drop coins on the floor spontaneously, and I bring all of that into my work. Any sound, for me, is music, all sound. And I didn't have to meet Chiari or John Cage or David Tudor or anyone to understand that. He gave me the tools, the means to understand and to live the word contemporary. And by contemporary, I mean someone who lives in the instant, someone who is now, being in the now. And Chiari was in the now. Yeah.
Are there any exhibitions or performances of Chiari's that you particularly remember?
The one I remember in particular, he showed these shocking pieces, really quite. He took the Beethoven string quartets and he put the partitura around the wall at one level, page after page. And then he took a marking pen and just, I think he crossed out the viola part just by hand. And that was the whole exhibition. Very strong piece, very fantastic piece. I think of another one at the Accademia Filharmonica Romana, which is a very big institution here, with this small room they had behind their palazzo where they gave concerts. And Chiari performed there, yeah, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen anyone do or even imagine. He said, I'm going to play the entire La Traviata in 60 seconds, 1 minute. I said, oh, that's impossible. Well, then he played a tape. So he played this piece in which he took a recording of La Traviata or whatever, and he kept speeding it up and speeding it up and speeding and then re-recording until it got faster and faster and reduced to actually 60 seconds. So he did this process. He actually physically somehow did this. He was interested in electronics if it would, if something possibly could go wrong, if a machine would do something. Just this very day before you came, I got this old cassette player from somebody because I needed to play a cassette. And then I discovered when I turned it on, it's not working properly. If Chiari had such a machine, he would find some way to make a new music with a machine which does not function.
To conclude, figures like Chiari's are still debated in the formal music context and not necessarily recognized. As an artist and as a musician, do you perceive it as a problem?
This problem of acceptance and making peace with the larger social fabric and the larger cultural circumstances is a problem for all of us. If the world is telling you, like sometimes they tell me, that I am buffone, I'm a jokester, kind of a musical comic, which I am. I do funny things sometimes, and I do very, very serious things also. But in the case of Chiari, I never questioned what his musical background was. It didn't matter, because he was inventing a music as he lived. And it didn't come from the conservatory training. Now, whether he actually had those kind of training or not, I don't even know. And I don't care. Because what he did with his words, with his voice, with his body, with his thoughts, with his actions, were a completely new music of the time, of the now, of the contemporary. The sign of a true master, someone who would actually, not that he discovered anything new, but he could make music of no interest whatsoever to the institutional world of music making, to the entire world of music history. And yet, he became recognized as an important composer. But to the world of, you know, in German you call Ernste Musik, they don't see anything in Chiari's work. This was seen as a primitive way of making music. Even the whole question of improvisation, making music in the moment, al fresco, as it were, people are still debating, talking about this problem. For most of us, it's not a problem. It's the way we live. And Chiari is fantastic. He is himself a living composition.